Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a return guest, someone who I respect highly and am pleased and honored to call a colleague. We're going to speak with Dr. Ralph LaGuardia. He's a triple specialized physician in internal medicine, geriatrics, and bariatrics. He's also the author of The Doomsday Book of Medicine, The Bible of Alternative Medicine, and Infected, Secrets from the Medical Underground. He has a website, and it's excellent. People definitely need to go there. It is themedicalunderground.substack.com. And this is a part two, because we spoke a lot.
It's at substack.com.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's right.
At substack.com. And before we spoke about a lot of topics, and one that we didn't get a chance to really delve into is detoxification. How can we be our own physicians? Because I think he's on the same wavelength as I am, that if we can educate our patients to be self-sufficient, self-reliant, and not have to enter the healthcare system, then we're doing our jobs. And that's what healthcare should be about. So Dr. LaGuardia, I want to thank you so much for joining me. I know you've had a busy day, so thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Now, last time we spoke about detox, before we get into solutions, what are some of the things people need to think about so they can limit their exposure? I mean, you won't have to detox as much if you don't put yourself in the soup. So what are some things that you think people are doing that are messing themselves up unbeknownst to them?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. Yeah, you have to decrease the burden of toxins you're taking in. And so one of the things I tell my patients all the time is simple things. When you're shopping at a grocery store, eat along the outer aisles. Do not buy anything in the middle aisles. It's all prepackaged. It's all full of toxins. It's full of chemicals. The most amazing thing is that most of those chemicals have not been tested. They have no idea about the carcinogenic effects or any other adverse health effects from it, and they include it in our foods randomly, which is mind-boggling. And the FDA just is, they're busy doing stupid things, and they drop the ball on major things like this. Even with nutraceuticals, I would make sure you try to buy when I speak about nutraceuticals, I mean vitamins, minerals, trace elements. Try to buy it from the most reputable company that you can. I get a lot of my vitamins from a Life Extension Foundation, which makes really good stuff. And I'm not saying they're the only one you should get them from, but a lot of times the content is not there. And it always blew my mind that the FDA, with all their regulation of things, doesn't require third-party testing of these vitamins and minerals and stuff. A lot of them just don't contain what they contain, or they have a lot less of what they should have. So that's why I try to steer them to reputable stuff. But getting back to the grocery store, if you eat more fresh fruit, vegetables, meat, and fish that is not packaged, right away you reduce your toxic load immensely. And if you can, get organic foods, because once again, there'll be much less toxins in, no pesticides and fungicides and chemical fertilizers that they use, all of which is doing several things. It's killing the soils. And so we've been doing this industrial farming after World War II, when the military industrial complex had geared up amazingly and won the war and did a great job. But now they had all these factories to make munitions and different things, and they converted a lot of it to fertilizers and different things. But once again, it was just NPK. It was standing for nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. These weren't fertilizers that were repleting the minerals and trace elements in the soil. And so the soils became progressively stripped of stuff over the years, in addition to which a lot of it was poisoned with stuff like Roundup, which is horrible for you. And that has numerous consequences. And unfortunately, it's water soluble. So it's able to spray it on crops and stuff, but it evaporates and then comes down in the rain. And so there's Roundup everywhere, even if organic fields are being exposed to it now. So it's a problem everywhere. But that's the first thing you do to lower your toxic load. Also, I wrote an article on my Substack recently about microplastics. That was something I have to admit wasn't even very much on my radar even, and I'm pretty much into this stuff. There's a microplastic Armageddon pending. It's unbelievably bad. And by microplastics, what I mean is there's the plastics that we use are unfortunately embedded with BPA and other what they call forever chemicals. They call them forever chemicals because there's no way for your body to break them down and excrete them, and they stay in your body. And we've been exposed to those for decades. And a lot of the chronic disease burden that Americans suffer from are consequences of this double whammy: a poor nutrition with processed foods, foods that are full of sugar and salt, but and chemicals, but depleted of nutrients, and also exposed to these toxins like microplastics. What happens? There's things called microplastics and nanoplastics. What that means is the plastics break down. They've found out even a water bottle, a 16-ounce water bottle, will have 2,500 bits of plastic in it, dissolved in it, that you're drinking. The incredible thing was we're taking in about 5 grams of plastic a week, the average person. And by 5 grams, to give you some context, is a credit card. So you're eating a credit card worth of plastic every week that your body has to get rid of. And it has, you know, it can get rid of some of it, but they're finding it everywhere. It's deposited. And I've just read an article this morning in the brain. Psychiatrists aren't getting worried about it because of the burden it's putting on the brain. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. And wow. As you know, that's the body's way to protect the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off, but
no, don't be
sorry. Does that have an inflammatory effect? Can you imagine that things like dementia and all these other things that are coming down the pipe may be triggered by this stuff?
Yes. Yes, you know, it's a huge problem. And what we're seeing is a consequence of the mass vaccination, which was, as we've discussed before, is a complete disaster. That's led to a 40% rise in unexplained death in the United States in 1 year, when they originally said that a 10% rise would be what's called a black swan event, meaning something, most swans are born white, you get a black swan very infrequently, and that's what that comment means. But that's they're calling this 40% rise a 1 in 200 year event. They've never seen anything like this. But once again, the insurance companies who figure this, they're losing a fortune on life insurance companies, especially because, as you know, they have their actuarials who figure out every, they know to the day statistically where you're probably going to die. And that's what they base their costs on. And now they've got all these young people dying out of the blue. And they're paying out, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in life insurance fees. But incredibly, they too have their heads buried in the sand. They're scratching their heads going, wow, we don't know what caused this. You know, you're thinking, what has changed in 1 year? Come on. This is rocket science. You know, I'm not an actuarial, but I think I can figure this one out.
And I think you are, because that seems to be the black hole. Like, I don't know. I'm baffled. That's the main statements that seem to be made.
That's a default statement for everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone, I don't remember if they're testifying before Congress. I don't remember. I don't recall. You know, and, you know, if they're talking about anything else with medical stuff, you know, right now we don't know. We have to do more studies on this. You know, the usual nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than someone with some integrity stepping up and going, "This is bull," and we know what this is from. Why don't you just say it? You know, but people are fearful. You know, many people lost their licenses during the pandemic because of speaking out against such things. Incredibly, you know, you and I are old enough to remember the days when medicine was open. We encouraged that. In the doctor's lounge was an open exchange of ideas. You know, and you were wrong sometimes, you were right sometimes, you argued something, but I tell you something, you learn something every time.
True.
You know, and that's the way it should be. This is science. You don't dictate from above dogmatically what's going to be, and this is fixed. And that was the thing that saddened me the most about the pandemic, the fact that among our colleagues that discussions were just killed. There was no questioning anything. people like us like to question. You know, we're not the type that just accept things. Show me. You know, give me some facts, and I'll work with you. But don't just tell me this is what I have to believe.
Exactly, but, when you know it's right in front of you.
Right.
And I would segue that question to: are there scientists that are involved with these plastics? You know, someone out there saying, you know, we shouldn't use this material because it may be toxic, cell toxicity, or somehow cause inflammation, or will be incorporated into the body and get through into the blood-brain barrier. Are there any, but I mean, I don't know of any, but these companies, do they just put these products out without any thought about the health effect?
Apparently, in addition to which, the amount of plastics going up, it keeps going up every year. And so, now we're realizing, it's more horrifying than I ever thought. And I was writing the article. I was very frank about this. And, well, this is blowing my mind even, and I'm pretty tough. You know, it's in the DNA now. That's how small the nanoplastics are. It's incorporated. They're finding it in sperm. They're finding it in ovums. They're finding it everywhere. It's affecting fertility, as you're well aware. And it's affecting the heart, the brain, the kidneys, the liver. Every organ in our bodies is being plasticized. And no one knows the long-term effects of it. But I tell you one thing, it's not going to be good. There's no good things coming out of it. Like you said, at the very least, chronic inflammation. You know, and after that, you wind up with organ dysfunction. Because how long can an organ be, have a foreign material that the body has no way to process and no way to excrete? They find some of it in urine, some of it in tears, some of it, but most of it is locked in our bodies. And so no one knows the long-term consequences of this, but the alarm bells are starting to go off, and you're seeing more and more articles on it where before you never saw anything. You know, they're going to have to figure out a way to screen out these forever chemicals and the microplastics, because, right now, if people are microwaving stuff, they're sucking on plastic water bottles all day, and I look at them like, oh my God, stop doing this. You know, at least in our home, after I wrote the article, my wife, who never reads my stuff, read that one. And she, she said, oh my God. And I said, yes. And we switched everything to ceramic or glass that we could, and just trying to lower the burden of stuff. Cause like everyone else, put saran wrap over it, you heat it up, it's in a plastic tub, and you're drinking out of plastic glasses and at work, and stuff and different things. And so even at work, I ordered a whole set of glassware so I could just even drink my water in the office. I won't have it through a plastic cup. But those type of things are huge and growing. And that's the kind of stuff that I worry about to no end. The forever chemicals also have consequences. A lot of them are neuroendocrine disruptors. For the audience, that means that it's messing up your hormones. And it's leading to a lot of odd things. There's that and drinking soy milk while they're developing, and just the fact that the chemicals mothers are exposed to now during gestation is horrific. At the same time, with a lack of iodine, a lack of magnesium, a lack of minerals and trace elements that the fetus needs for proper development, in addition to which you have them in a pool of chemicals, when you know more about this than I do, when they test the blood from after a birth from the umbilical cord and different things, the amount of foreign chemicals in there is mind-boggling.
Wow. I mean, I didn't even think about it on that level, but this is, I think, incubating a very sick society coming down the pipe with these children. We didn't have this. I don't believe, my mom fed me. I don't think she breastfed me, but I don't remember ever having, even as a younger, training, having people with this many foreign substances in their bodies, the mothers passing it along to the children.
Right. And
there's so many things that we can do to mitigate it. You just described what you're doing, ceramic, glass. Maybe we need to have a conversation with the major industries about what they're putting their products in. I remember getting milk in a glass bottle.
Right, me too.
And eggs from the Eggman.
With those cardboard labels on the top.
Exactly. Right. I mean, we didn't, the lid was even cardboard. You'd have to pull it off. I mean, maybe we should go back to just get rid of all these, using the byproducts of the petroleum industry to make medication and make these plastics and just go back to glass. I mean, that is the ultimate in being able to reuse it, right? You can recycle glass and it's not going to be toxic. I don't understand why we can't do simple things.
Right. There's no toxin from glass. It's fine. I mean, it's inert and non-reactive and doesn't melt or give off any chemicals. Yeah, you're going to have to do that. But, you know, that's why I'm a capitalist. I believe in that. I think that once this gets out to the public, entrepreneurs will step in and say, either find a way to mitigate the plastic problem or rush in with glass and ceramic replacements for it, or put filters on things. If you go down to 1 nanometer, you can filter out a lot of these. And 1 nanometer isn't that bad for isn't that bad for filter. That's pretty easy to do. But it's even from rugs, from polyester clothing, things I never expected. We're inhaling a lot of the microplastics. It's coming from everywhere. And so, as you said, when we were kids, if you weren't breastfed, you were fed in a glass bottle.
That's true.
You know, they weren't plastic bottles for that. And so, our exposure was much less. You know, even though I grew up in the metropolitan area of New York, and I'm sure the exposure from pollution was horrific at those days, but the amount of stuff we were ingesting in our food was a lot different. And there was a lot of, I didn't eat processed foods as a kid very much. My mother, I had the only Italian mother in the world who was a terrible cook. She was the youngest of 10 and just never handled it. And she worked, but she still would make stuff when she came home that was relatively fresh and just try to cook for us and stuff. But, now they're exposed to so much. And just the fact, like I said, that they're drinking out of plastic bottles all day, that alone. I mean, I see probably three out of five patients in my office are drinking something when they come in. A lot of them, unfortunately, carrying soda bottles, and I'm all over them. Like, what is this? You're morbidly obese. You're morbidly obese, and you're hanging on to this Coke like it's for life. But then you have the added toxicity of EMF fields from 5G, which is cooking the planet from above. People have no idea. I mean, it's so strong, the 5G, that it's messing up migration of birds, migration of bees. They're having a hard time migrating back, finding a way back to their hives and stuff, and long-term migration of birds and stuff. And so it's affecting the whole planet. I mean, you're cooking, sending down this radiation, and you keep thinking, okay, we'll make it stronger. Oh, look, 5G is better than 4G. But there's a price to pay for that. I even noticed on myself, I was dictating for a long time, holding a phone to my head, and I'm right-handed along my right temple. I noticed a series of dysplastic little nevi there. I had little beauty marks that came out of nowhere that weren't there and were not on the left. And then I switched to remote, dictating hand, not hands-on, and doing it that way. And, but I look at patients all the time that come in, and new patients and stuff. I look at them and I'll say, oh, you're right-handed. They say, how do you know that? And I'll point out that they have lesions on their face from their cell phones. So you can imagine what it's doing to the brain and the material below it. And that's just one example of it up close. These young kids are exposed to radiation from their computers, from their phones. And I tell patients all the time, do not keep your phone charged next to your bed. Put it in a different room. I have nothing electronic that's plugged in my bedroom at all. My alarm clocks work on batteries, and I charge the phone in a different room. I don't want that radiation to be exposed to all evening. It's bad enough we're exposed to it a lot during the day. So there's ways you can mitigate that. And I think it's much easier up front to mitigate your exposure to a lot of these things than to try to rectify it later.
It's better not to get sick at all if you can help it. And
somehow
boost your body's ability, because it's a health, self-healing system.
Yes. Yes.
It just needs the building blocks and your will to make better choices.
Well, there's some things you can do, like activated charcoal is an amazing material. I use it a lot in the office when people come in with nausea and vomiting. I'll give them 2 capsules of activated charcoal and tell them to lay down for a half hour and go back to the room and they feel great. It soaks up everything. Because what activated charcoal is, it has an unbelievable surface area to it. And it's able to Adsorb with a D, A-D-S-O-R-B, rather than A-B-S-O-R-D. People are confused by it. They think, oh, it absorbs stuff. It doesn't absorb. When you absorb something, it's soaking into it, and it's becoming, it enters the structure of it and balloons it out. A sponge, for example, absorbing water, mm-hmm. increases in size as it takes on the volume of the water. Adsorbing is different. Adsorbing is chalk on a blackboard. You know, it's chemically bound to the surface of it loosely. And that's what happens on, it adsorbs chemicals and neutralizes them on the surface because we're a carbon-based creature. And, you know, biochemistry is all carbon, and it's all how things react with carbon, and our whole body reacts with carbon. And so carbon's able to, it's, water's the universal solvent, and carbon is like the universal that combines with so many different things. So if you're really into it, you can take a few capsules of activated charcoal at bedtime and have it just go through your body and soak up stuff. It'll even absorb 70% of its weight in radiation, radioactive particles. So if you're exposed to radiation, or if you had a ton of x-rays and CAT scans and different things, and you're worried about your radiation exposure, or if you live somewhere, unfortunately, near where you are exposed, or in the unfortunate event, the horrific event of a nuclear war, you would need activated charcoal. You could sprinkle on the surface of farming stuff and it'll absorb the radiation, and you could scoop and get rid of it. And you can ingest it into your body regularly to help get rid of that. But in addition to radiation, it'll absorb everything else, all kinds of chemicals, toxins, right on the surface of it. Bind them irreversibly, and you'll be able to excrete them out. You have to be aware of the fact that you can't take any medicine on 3 hours on either side of it. So you have to wait 3 hours after you took a medication because it'll absorb it as well and then activate it. As you know, we use it all the time for overdoses and for in the emergency room, we put an NG tube down them. And a slurry, which means activated charcoal mixed with water, into their stomach and stuff to bind up whatever the poison they took or tried to kill themselves with. And so it's nothing new. It's been around for a long time, but it works very well. It's the same thing in a way that they used on long ship voyages. They used to take the oak barrels and burn the insides of them, just char them enough. And that would keep the water fresh in there because over a long voyage, the water would wash against the carbon in there, and that would bind up any chemicals or toxins in there or any bacteria and stuff. And so bacteria and viruses absorb right onto it as well. And so that's a really useful way to do things. But you always have to remember not to take anything 3 hours before or 3 hours after, because it'll just eliminate those as well.
I think that's a great place to take our first break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. LaGuardia. And for the break, you did a wonderful job of giving us a real good antidote, charcoal, in helping our bodies to adsorb toxins. And do you reckon that people take them as a routine, like maybe once a week or twice a week just to stay ahead, or only if they think they've been somehow affected?
It's a good question. I would do it once or twice a week. It has no downside to it. Hopefully it'll bind up a lot of stuff in your gut and help that, because as we've learned over the last decade especially, the gut is so important for our health. I mean, one of the consequences of all of these chemicals being ingested is the damage to the gut lining. The lining for the small and the large intestine is one cell thick, as you know, the enterocytes, and they have what's called tight junctions between them, kind of a yin and yang kind of structure where they fit inside of each other. And that prevents anything to go between them. And on their surfaces, what they have is like a brush border, looks like a shag rug. And that increases the surface area and the surface of these enterocytes to absorb minerals, trace elements, proteins, fats, carbohydrates, everything your body needs. On top of that is a layer of good probiotic bacteria that starts the breakdown of the foods and presents those to the brush border where they're absorbed. When you have these toxins damaging our gut, once again, these are we're not designed for these chemicals. These are poisons, and they're putting into us frequently in minute amounts, not enough to give you a reaction when you each time you take something, but the cumulative effect is devastating, especially on the microbiome, which is the good bacteria that you need. Can't live without it. It controls inflammation. It controls your immune system. It even controls your mood. It does a lot of things. So I find that you'll see a lot of patients who come in as adults and they say, you know, doc, all of a sudden I've got allergies to everything. You know, I can't eat this. I can't eat that. You know, blah, blah, blah. I keep getting diarrhea. I get abdominal cramps. I got irritable bowel. And the vast majority of them are suffering from what's called leaky gut syndrome. And leaky gut means that those tight junctions I alluded to earlier between the one cell lining of the gut are loose, and large pieces of protein and fats and different things, undigested foods and chemicals, are going through there right into the portal vein and right to the liver, where they damage the liver and you wind up getting fatty liver, which is an epidemic, and ultimately more liver damage, because now you've got the burden of your liver that has to break down all these foreign chemicals and excrete them as best as it can. And so that's a huge burden on our livers. But I found ways to fix that. And what I do in the office, and it takes a while, I'm very frank with patients, it's not an overnight deal. It's going to take you at least 6 months. And what I do is being a functional medicine doctor, I like to study how each organ works from, you know, the most minute detail, and then try to rebuild it, giving it what it needs. And when I studied the bowels, they were very interesting. The small intestine, the lining of it, the cells, those enterocytes, those one cell thick lining I spoke about earlier, they don't live on glucose like the rest of the cells of the body. They live on L-glutamine, an amino acid. And the cells of the large intestine live on medium chain triglycerides and short chain fatty acids. And so what happens is normally the microbiome produces, there's undigested fats and stuff that go into the colon, and it ferments them there, believe it or not. And that fermentation produces these great short-term fatty acids, which are really good for you. They decrease inflammation. Your body absorbs them from your colon. And from there, it's very good for your health overall. And so what I do is I give patients L-glutamine. It comes in a powder. You can get it online. And you can put it all in the same drink. I put L-glutamine in there, and I put in, I have them take a tablespoon, of coconut oil. Coconut oil is medium chain triglycerides. And so that feeds the small intestine and the large intestine cells. And then I have them take colostrum from the functional medicine part, I've been doing the L-glutamine and the medium chain triglycerides. And then from the integrative part of what I do, integrative for the audience means combining traditional medicine with alternative medicine. So what I do for the integrative part is I looked at it and I said, I was studying it. And I remember reading about cows and mammals in general for the most part, but the colostrum is one of the first milks that they give when they're breastfeeding their young. And what does colostrum contain? It contains tons of antibodies, especially for the gut. It protects the gut so they don't get enteric infections and different things, because it's so important in gut health. And so I realized the body's providing that, its initial bolus of that to a newborn, that's got to be critical for gut health. And so I give powdered colostrum, organic stuff, and mix that in there. And I give collagen and vitamin C, because collagen is how all tissues of the body are built. And collagen doesn't work without vitamin C to activate it. So I give them that combination of things, and most of them you could put in one drink, so it's not too bad. They're pretty much flavorless. And so, using collagen, L-glutamine, medium chain triglycerides in a form of coconut oil and vitamin C helps. And I also give them a strong probiotic. I give them VSL number 3, it's called. It's 8 different probiotics together in a mix. You need a mix of probiotics. And in addition to which, it has, it has a huge number. It has 500 billion per packet. So it's a huge bolus of it. So I give them that twice a day, and comes in capsules. It comes in powder also, but it's easier to take the capsules. And so I'd give them that whole regimen twice a day. And lo and behold, within a few months, their allergies disappear. You know, and things like Hashimoto's go away, because what happens is you get a lot of these autoimmune diseases from the same leaky gut. And so what happens is a piece of protein goes in, and that protein is similar to thyroid. And so your body attacks it, attacks this foreign protein, which shouldn't be there. It's doing the right thing. But unfortunately, when it makes antibodies to that, it also makes antibodies against the thyroid. And you wind up with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is just autoimmune inflammation of your thyroid. Cures that too. It cures a lot of the arthralgias, the joint aches, and the myalgias that patients have with fibromyalgia and different things. And so the benefits are protean. But, you know, no one's addressing this stuff. They're looking for one magic bullet to treat, you know, a chemical, no less, that they can give you that will fix everything. And that's never worked yet and probably never will. In addition to which, those magic bullets always, because they're foreign chemicals to the body, always have side effects. The stuff I use is natural stuff. It has no side effects except beneficial things. And so I'm not worried about the chain of events I'm initiating by giving someone a chemical, because I'm not. I'm giving them natural stuff and letting their body work with that from a functional medicine point of view and heal itself and start functioning better, because it's the most amazing machine that ever was made. I mean, God has designed our bodies to be perfect.
I couldn't have said that better. And so for people, all these catch-all diagnoses like irritable bowel and IBD, IBC, whatever. You got diarrhea, constipation.
Yeah, IBS-C, IBS-D, right?
Yeah,
right.
I mean, they're just making up names. And the ultimate treatment always is to suppress the body. I mean, it's like how do you suppress something? It's like whack-a-mole. Something else is going to show up.
Exactly.
And I've spoken about this before, but I'm going to ask you, have you heard we were younger and in our residency, et cetera, have you ever heard of medications being allowed to stay on the market when they cause death and cancer and other things? They're actually telling you this, which means they must be higher in the prevalence than something that's the 99th side effect. Have you remember ever? I don't. It seems to me like a new phenomenon where it all causes death or suicidal ideation or something that's like, why is this being written as a prescription?
Right. No, I agree with you. I don't remember any of that ever happening. And what's happening, that's why I'm so down on the FDA. I mean, just, first of all, every government agency, but especially the FDA, drives me out of my mind, because it's a revolving door. The guys who are policing them, working for the FDA, go and immediately go to these pharmaceutical companies and these different companies afterwards and get huge contracts and work for them in the private sector. And so there's such a huge conflict of interest, and everyone ignores it. I mean, of course these guys aren't going to regulate them. The same thing happened during COVID, when they were supposed to look into the pharmaceutical companies and, no, these vaccines are safe, blah, blah, blah. If you look at these guys, 3 out of 4 of them within 2 years were working for Moderna or Pfizer with multi-million dollar contracts. I mean, it's such a huge conflict of interest, and it's against the American people. I mean, these people follow the money, and it makes you sick. They could care less about our health. Well, you know, it's all the damn money about everything. When people are dying and children are getting sick, and just the obesity epidemic has hit 42% of the public. I mean, if you look at old movies from 1940s, 50s, 60s even, I was just looking at this training film that they had from the 1960s. It was showing high school boys, how the government decided they wanted to make sure everyone was in good shape, and they had these calisthenic programs where we were climbing walls and doing jumping jacks and knee bends, and they were all thin. There was an occasional fat kid, but when I was growing up, there was just one or two fat kids in our class out of 30 or 40. There was not, right? I'm sure you saw the same thing.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
But the society has changed in terms of that. It's very sedentary.
But it's also high fructose corn syrup. If you follow the curve, the two of them went together. You know, stop doing this stuff to us. Stop putting cheap stuff in that you can mass produce and give us food. It's not helping us if you're mass producing food cheaply that's full of toxins. You know, you're shooting themselves in the foot with this stuff. And it's a much more worse burden on the poor. You know, the lower your class in society, the best food you can afford. Let's face it, organic foods are expensive. And foods overall are expensive now. And people are making unwise choices about things, but you know, their choices are limited. And so you're putting this burden on the you know, poor whites, blacks, Hispanics, that have a much higher burden of disease than upper class people, you know, and simply because a lot of it is diet. Some of it is lifestyle choices too, but a lot of it is diet. And a lot of it is diet that's imposed on them from out of their control.
I would have to agree. If you look and you go historically, the wealthy used to be the heavy people, and the people who were working class were not obese, and now it's switched. But there's also, and you're right, it's not healthy, a diet. And so you're ending up in the hospital systems and on medication. And it's a pipeline. You know, I saw this basically coming with the change in how they fed the cattle and how they feed the food industry feeds the livestock. Right. I mean, what happened to grazing on grass? That's the cheapest thing you can do. Why do they have to eat corn? Remember with the, there was a drought and they were feeding them candy. I mean, that's got to ripple through the entire food system. And if they're not healthy, they're going to be plied with antibiotics. That's also going to end up in us. What they eat is what we end up taking in as well. Go ahead.
And you could tell how toxic that is if you look at the effluent leaving some of these farms, these mass factory farms. Mm-hmm. It is a toxic soup. I mean, they go in there, all kinds of resistant bacteria are emerging from that because of the overuse of antibiotics and chemicals that they're feeding these cows and chickens and stuff so we can get them cheaper. You know, in the long run, it's not helping you if you're ingesting that stuff. And, you know, like you said, the toxic burden and the disease burden is costing the country trillions on the other side, not to mention lost productivity and just the tragedies in families. I mean, cancer, the amount of cancer is exploding, and it's going way down in age. I'm seeing 40-year-olds. I saw a 38-year-old with stage 4 colon cancer the other day.
Wow.
An otherwise healthy guy. You know, it was shocking. You know, and I'm seeing that more and more routinely. And when I talk to the oncologists, they're seeing cancers that they saw once in their career, you know, 10 times in a year now. You know, these really exotic cancers that you never heard of before. And no one's sure why. And I don't think anyone really has the right. I mean, I don't have the answer to all this. But I got to scratch my head and think all these chemicals we're putting in at the same time, starving the body of what it needs to function properly. I mean, just bromine, for example, they got, you know, the iodized salt. So we get iodine was one of the greatest public health moves they ever made because goiter was so endemic in the Midwest, especially because the further you get from the coasts where in the oceans is a lot of iodine, the amount of iodine diminishes rapidly. So by the time you got to the Midwest, half of them had goiter, big goiters on their neck from being hypothyroid and basically being low in iodine, not to mention children born as cretins and different things because iodine is so essential for brain development. But, you know, and so the public health idea, which was great, was iodized salt. Well, that was great. But what happens now for the last 40 years? We've been on a low salt kick. No one's eating salt. Plus, salt, iodine is a halogen, and it's unstable. Same thing as bromine. Bromine's right next to iodine on the periodic table. So they used to iodize and put it in bread and wheat and flour and different things. They stopped all that. They use bromine now. And bromine's using fire retardants and clothes and different materials. And so you got the double whammy of lack of iodine in the foods, and now you've got bromine replacing it. And when you measure thyroid hormone, you can't tell if it's bromine or iodine in there. So you may even have a non-functioning hormone in there. There's no way to tell. So that's why I stress to all my patients, take iodine. And I put them on, I like to use kelp. It's seaweed, which is full, it comes in capsules. It's full of iodine. It's organic. You can absorb it. Your body knows what to do with it. In addition to which, it provides all the essential amino acids that your body needs. And for the listeners, essential amino acid means amino acids your body can't make. Your body can make a lot of them from different parts. The essential ones, it can't. So it necessitates getting them from the diet. And so if you provide these things, and especially to a pregnant woman, you know, even though obese for some reason are freaked out about it, iodine is so safe. And since we know that lack of iodine causes mental retardation and cretinism because of the lack of brain development, but they never took the other step and said, what happens if we supplement iodine? Well, there was a guy named Jorge Flechas, internist like myself, functional medicine guy, I believe he's in Virginia, who studied this for years, brilliant guy. And what he found was that in the same family, if you supplemented iodine, the IQ went up 20 points on the child compared to a sibling earlier. So you got controls right there. It's not genetics that are different. Why? I mean, if our government agencies had any integrity at all, they would be pushing this stuff all day. Make sure you take iodine when you're pregnant. I mean, when in Japan, they've got an average iodine intake of about 23 milligrams a day because of the amount of seafood they eat, sushi and different things with seafood in it and seaweed in it. And so what happens with them? They have almost no breast disease. They have no fibrocystic disease at all. They have no ovarian cysts. Cysts are always a consequence of iodine deficiency, as is breast cancer eventually. And those same women, if they migrate to the United States and adapt an American diet, develop breast cysts, ovarian cysts, and breast cancer at the same rate as Americans. So it's not some genetic thing that's protecting them. It's simply a diet.
It seems to me that there's been a complete this lack of any critical thinking or intellectual curiosity about nutrition. Because what you just described is food is medicine. And yes, we're being deprived from a depleted system, a depleted diet. No wonder we're all sicker as a group, as a whole. And it's unacceptable when these simple things you just described can just, they're pennies on the dollar too, really. We're not talking about expensive things to help yourself.
Couldn't it be cheaper?
I mean, iodine. And, you know, I want to take a break because I want to come back and talk about minerals because you described at the beginning that the soil is depleted. What kind of, answer the question when we come back, what kind of diseases are we seeing because we have a mineral deficiency? Mm-hmm. So let's take our last break and come back. You're sure. Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Ralph LaGuardia. And again, he's the author of The Doomsday Book of Medicine, The Bible of Alternative Medicine, and these can be found on Amazon. And the Bible is awesome because it gives you, you've basically written out what we're talking about so people can use this as a guide. You know, if you got to learn things, I think you need to learn how to take care of yourself instead of wasting time reading things that don't affect you on the internet. So before the break, we were talking about iodine. Now I want to ask you about minerals like magnesium and calcium, mm-hmm, and phosphorus and potassium. Are these really, I'm going to put it out there for patients who don't know, are they really necessary to maintain our health and how do we get them?
They're critical for health maintenance. There's nothing that is more important. And I'll give you an example. Magnesium, for example, 300 enzymes in your body require magnesium to work properly. Everyone's almost low on it because most of the magnesium we get is from chlorophyll. It's what gives the green pigment in plants. And so it's interesting because I always, being the nerd that I am, I always love this fact that hemoglobin is what carries oxygen in our bodies. And hemoglobin and chlorophyll have the exact same structure. They're identical. The only difference is the central molecule in hemoglobin is iron and the central molecule in chlorophyll is magnesium. So it's like chlorophyll is like plant blood, you know, and chlorophyll is so good for you. It actually helps detox things as well. I take chlorella tablets every day, which has a lot of chlorophyll in it and stuff. But magnesium is so key. And once again, the soils are depleted. And so we're not getting it in. And people aren't eating like they did in the old days. They're not eating a lot of green leafy vegetables and vegetables in general that are organic and grown, you know, even organic stuff. You have to grow in good soil and you have to, it won't have the toxins, but it may not have all the minerals you want unless they're really doing a good job on farming and adding manure back to the soil and adding nutrients back to the soil. I have a farm, a horse farm, but I've got orchards here. I've got 400 fruit trees and I've got my greenhouse and stuff. I'm always out there working in my orchard. It's organic. And you know, it all the food there, you know, to improve the soil, I use a stuff called azomite. It's made from an ancient seabed out in the far west. They mine it from there. It's from thousands of years of deposits of plants on the seabed had developed this white powder called azomite. What azomite means is minerals from A to Z and trace elements. It has everything. And so I add that powder to my soils routinely, along with worm castings. And that, and I use horse manure because I have a horse farm. That combination, I grow the most amazing, thick, healthy plants. I never use fertilizer on them. I never use pesticides. I never use fungicides. I don't have to. A healthy plant, just like a healthy human, if you provide a human or a plant with all the things they need, they're designed to be healthy. Sickness is a result of usually either an infection because the immune system is down. If your immune system is up, you don't get infected. That's why in the same house, people, one person has the flu, the other one doesn't get it. It's not because they're not exposed to it. It's because the body is able to fight it off. And your immune system depends on having these minerals and trace elements part of it. And so that's so important. And so a sick plant, if you provide plants with this, they don't get sick. They don't need this other stuff. And same thing with a human. If you provide them with all the nutrients they need, magnesium is key. And you'll see it a lot. I have a lot of patients that come in with high blood pressure. Almost all of them are low in magnesium. And so magnesium lowers blood pressure, helps relax you. I use it a lot in the office in various forms. I, you know, since I'm an internist, I see a lot of orthopedic injuries and stuff, and people come in. I use Epsom salt soaks. Epsom salt's magnesium sulfate. And people, oh, doc, you sure? And listen to me, try this. And I have them, so you have to soak for a half hour. That's all it takes, the transdermal effect for it to cross the skin and absorb it. And I have them soak in hottest water they can stand, without burning themselves. And with men, I tell them the hard part, the limiting factor is getting your testicles in there. So once you get past the twins, you're okay. And you soak in Epsom salt. And what Epsom salt does, it crushes skin. It relaxes everything. Well, if you have a muscle spasm or you hurt your back or your shoulder, it relaxes that. But when you leave the bathtub, you have to be careful because your legs are like Gumby. You know, it's relaxing your muscles as well. But it also leads to constipation. People are having constipation all the time. It's lack of magnesium. Mm. You know, it helps in essentially. Then there's other things like zinc, 200 enzymes for zinc. You know, so, you know, and zinc is essential for healing and for different things, for immune function. And so if you just provide people right there with just zinc and magnesium, you're covering 500 enzymes. And so 500 enzymes in your body now are working better than they were before. And so the health benefits are numerous. Your blood pressure drops, muscle spasms drop, constipation is eased. It also helps the brain because I find people were very irritable. And today, these days, people are very irritable. They're impatient. They've got ADD, they can't focus, they're irritable. The brain requires magnesium. And so, you know, there's different forms of magnesium. So people with ADD, anxiety, depression, I always put them on a B complex. I use methylated in case they're MTHFR positive and they can't process them. Methylated B complex, which is all over the counter stuff. I give them magnesium and I also give them krill oil. Fish oil is great too. Krill oil is even better. Krill oil has it crosses the blood-brain barrier easier than fish oil, and it has astaxanthin in it. That's what gives it its red color. Astaxanthin is part of the food chain. It's from microbes that start way down on the ocean floor, and as you ascend the food chain, it gets more concentrated in their tissues. That's why lobsters are red. Shrimp is pink and red. They get that color, salmon. They get all that color from astaxanthin. And it's unbelievable and be powerful antioxidant. So it helps your immune system. It's 80 times stronger than vitamin C. It's very strong stuff. And it has no downside to it. So I give them krill oil, magnesium, and B complex. And you'd be amazed how it helps so many people right off the bat without giving them strong pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, from my training and now that I've been out and in practice for a while, it seems to me that the pharmaceutical side of it should be, if you have to use it, your secondary line of you know, defense.
Yes.
And you should make sure you're balanced, make sure you have all of the building blocks to help your body help itself. There will definitely be people who need a medication, but I just think that it's the go-to. little children, they want to put on medicines for cholesterol. How would that affect their brain, since we know the brain needs fats
It's horrific. You know, I run a nursing home as well. When I took it over 7 years ago, the first board meeting we had, I announced I'm taking everyone off statins. Into a wide-eyed look from everyone, except the pharmacist. I have to hand it to him, her. She agreed with me. I said, we have 100, one patient was 107. I said, we have around 80 milligrams of Lipitor a day. Are you nuts? What are we doing? I said, this is ridiculous, you know? And you don't need, statins are way overplayed. Dr. Keyes, the guy who did the study on statins, was a scamster. He did this in the late 50s, early 60s. He studied 29 countries, and only, I think, 11 or 12 of them met his theory that cholesterol was a problem. And so he threw out the other ones and didn't mention them in his data. And we jumped on board with this craziness that we were against saturated fats, which are great for you, you know, and we embraced trans fats like margarine in the 60s, you know, this madness. And then, you know, now everyone's on low-fat diets. And as you said, your brain is mostly made of similar stuff to fish oil. It needs fat. Fat doesn't make you fat. Carbohydrates make you fat. There's no essential carbohydrates, but there's essential fatty acids and there's essential amino acids, which are proteins. So you need, there's protein and fat you need. Your body can make all the carbs you need. You don't need gluconeogenesis. It makes makes glucose is all you want. You don't need it. I'm not saying you shouldn't have carbs in your diet, but they're never essential. Your body can live, and fat is so good for you. And you see all these people that come in with eczema and skin lesions and dermatitis. They're all depleted with fats. I put them on all the fat-soluble vitamins right away, which are A, D, E, and K. I put them on those four in fish oil, krill oil, and vitamin C and collagen to rebuild their skin, and zinc. And it's nice they say it to me, but I feel almost embarrassed sometimes because they always ask the same question. But I saw the specialist, and he never did this. Why didn't he do it? What am I going to say? You know, I don't even know what to say to him. I said, I don't know. Everyone's different. I'm not going to throw the guy under the bus, but it's true. Why are they doing that? Why are dermatologists still saying sunlight causes skin cancer? You know, are you nuts? You know, the audience can find all my papers on Substack. Every week I write articles on these different things. It's free. You go to Substack to medicalunderground.com and you'll see articles on all the things I'm talking about here. And I write them for laymen. They're not written for scientists. Every term I use, I put an explanation afterwards so you don't have to look up anything. And I give you ways to treat it yourself, you know, without pharmaceuticals. But, you know, it's very frustrating for me. Well, you know, it's rewarding and frustrating at the same time.
If we would just think, you know, it's everything seems to be, nobody wants to stick their head up. They're afraid they're going to get it lopped off. There are patients who don't question anything. I think the best patient that I love to see is someone who has a question, who says, right. Why? If I say, I'd like to put you on X or do X therapy, they want to know why. And my thing is, if you understand why, then you will do it. You'll understand and you'll get better. I really don't want to see people coming back with the same problem when there's a better option. And you have a very select group of patients, I'm sure, because they've been through the mill and they're like, I'm not doing it anymore. So it must be a pleasure to see people who are ready to learn and ready to get better. You know, time goes way too fast. It's like talking to a friend, you know, so we're like chewing the fat here, but I want to make people know how to get your books, how to go to your website. I go there a lot now because you do write in a really clear, and it's not long, it's concise, and it's call to action, things that you can actually do yourself. And to me, that's empowerment. So how can people get your books and read what you write? Because you spend a lot of time putting a lot of good out there.
All my books are available on Amazon. There's the original book I wrote, the Doomsday Book of Medicine. It just recently was reformatted. It was 900 pages, the same content, but the page size changed. So it's about 700 pages now. But that covers every problem from head to toe. And if you had to take care of yourself in a crisis situation. And the Bible of Alternative Medicine is kind of a friendlier version of that one. Then I wrote the Infected Secrets of the Medical Underground. That addresses infections anywhere in the body, how to treat them without pharmaceuticals. But the clearest way to follow my stuff is to go to Substack, which is great. Substack is non-censored. And so, as you know, I've been, you know, censored off of YouTube and different places. They just won't tolerate opinions like you and I have. Mm-mm. You know, they tout the party line. If you question anything, you know, they just destroy you and just say, oh, no, this can't, you know, delete this. This is conspiracy theories, whatever. They have all these different terms for shutting up anyone who's telling the truth. You know, you'll notice they'll never try to censor someone telling the truth. I mean, lying. They'll only censor people telling the truth. And so if you go to Substack, they don't do that. There's a lot of great political stuff on there. There's a lot of great science, a lot of great medicine on there. And it's free. And I like when people become paid subscribers, don't get me wrong. But it's if you go to Substack, if you go to medicalunderground@substack.com, that brings you right to my page. And then every week in your mail, you'll get my newest article. Every week I write an article. Last week was sleep. This week I'm writing one actually on how to purify water. So I think it's important for people to know all the different ways to purify water, because water is essential, as you know, for everything. And getting pure water into your body that's not laced with, unfortunately, most of the water supply now is laced with pharmaceuticals just from people excreting it in this urine and going into the water table. And so you can expose to tons of, up to 200 chemicals sometimes, just from your natural tap water. So it's important to know how to filter water properly. But all that stuff's available, like I said, every week. Just go on there, medicalunderground@substack.com.
Ralph, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Oh. It's just a breath of fresh air and an honor to know you and call you a friend.
Oh, I appreciate you having me on so much. It's always fun talking to you, Lynn.
Well, thank you. And I have to be selfish and have you back, if that's okay.
Anytime you want.
I love it.
As my wife says, he loves to talk.
I love to listen, so we're in good shape. So I hope you have a blessed night, and thank you so much for joining me, and thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.